Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the second letter to Peter. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses to his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the mystic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain, so we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy will ever come by human will. But men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
6 days after Peter said that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. "With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Please be seated. If, and hopefully when, you visit the Belfry, one of the first things that you'll see in the living room is our picture wall. Our peer minister, Ben, hi Ben, hi Belfry students, takes a Polaroid picture of everyone who comes into the Belfry, and then he hangs it on the wall. The pictures collect over the academic year until the wall is full. And then in September, before the new school year starts, he takes the old ones down and he puts them into an album. In this way, we remember and celebrate everyone whose life has connected with the Belfry. It's an important part of our lives to mark big events. Besides taking photos, we celebrate anniversaries, we give awards, we collect objects. We appreciate physical reminders of important milestones in our life. In our gospel reading for today, Peter is probably trying to do something similar in his response to the once ever in history moment on the Mount of Transfiguration. There he is, climbing the mountain with his friends Jesus and James and John, when all of a sudden, two of the greatest figures in his religious tradition appear before him. I can't even imagine what that moment must have been like for him. It's particularly telling that the two figures are Moses and Elijah. Moses is the most important figure of the past. He founded the Hebrew faith after a direct encounter with God, a faith that Peter has practiced his whole life. And that same faith traditionally sees Elijah as a figure of the future. After his encounter with God, he's whisked away without tasting death and is expected to return again in a new age. The past and the future of everything Peter holds dear is right there before him. Of course, Peter wanted to mark the occasion. If he'd had a cell phone, it definitely would have been a selfie moment. And of course, Peter thought that he needed to not just remember, but to memorialize the experience, creating a monument on the mountaintop. Instantly, a voice from heaven makes it quite clear that he is making a terrible mistake. "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased," the voice says. And the disciples fall to the ground in fear. Peter certainly got the message that a memorial was not what was called for. The problem isn't that Peter wanted to remember. The problem is that he thought of the remembrance as something static, something literally set in stone. What he didn't understand is that the figure that unites all, past, present, and future, in one person, was actually right there in front of him. The Jesus up on the mountain with Peter and the others isn't just their friend or their teacher. He's the Christ, the Messiah, the one who was and is to come. There is no possibility of setting a marker in stone to memorialize this event. And even if it were possible, such a memorial would do damage to the very idea that it's trying to honor. The Transfiguration is not about looking backwards, about honoring a one-time event. The Transfiguration is about the ever-dynamic, ever-evolving word and presence of Jesus in the world. The command the voice gives is not to remember, but to listen to the living word. The voice of God makes it clear that no marker can possibly capture what has happened and what is happening. Jesus is forever the beloved Son, and we are forever to listen to him. This is not something that we can mark as in the past and remember with fondness the nostalgia. Instead, we're invited into a thriving, living, ongoing relationship. As Christians, as church people, it's very easy for us to get set in our ways. There is a way we do things, and we tend to be very fond of following our patterns. And in many ways, our traditions have served us well. We have practices to pray with one another, to gather around God's table, to offer support and care for those going through difficult times, to welcome the stranger. However, we can run into trouble when those practices and patterns become our central focus instead of serving as a means to help us live in to our true focus, which is the good news of the life offered in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. Every week, we're at risk of falling into the same trap that Peter does, to resting in the memorial of the work of Christ rather than being transformed and renewed by that work. Our contemporary world is changing at a dizzying pace. The church is in the midst of a paradigm shift, not seen for hundreds of years. And while COVID didn't cause this shift, it has certainly accelerated its pace. It is vitally important that we live on the leading edge of where God is working in the world. Living out our faith requires flexibility and creativity and authenticity. As a campus minister, I'm in the very privileged position of being unable to fall into a rut. For the Belfry to be what it needs to be in the lives of students and other friends, our practice and pattern needs to be embracing change instead of doing what we do. The ancient traditions that we celebrate hold us and provide a container for our common life, but how we live out that life is dynamic and evolving and made new moment by moment. We do Bible study using contemporary critical methodologies. We prepare enough food for everyone without knowing that whether that will mean 8 people or 18. We offer a fluid participatory Eucharist that doesn't always go as planned, where sometimes people come and go, or my dog climbs up on the lap of somebody sitting in the room. All of our gathering and conversation and worship, including the moment of Eucharist, is dynamic and new every day. I have had more than one person say to me that perhaps the church of the future will look more like a campus ministry than it does like the church of today. There's nothing wrong with taking a picture, engaging in ceremonies, and otherwise tending the markers of significant moments in our lives, including gathering around the table to celebrate Eucharist, as we'll do in just a short time. But as we remember, may God grant us the grace of a living, dynamic faith that sends us forth with courage and strength to change the world. Amen.
Let us rise as you are able to affirm our faith using the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly. crucified and Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and the world.
O majestic glory, transfigure our souls to radiate as the light of Jesus, shining through the darkness in this mortal life. May your Holy Spirit rise in our hearts as the morning star each dawn make known the power, the presence, and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, our refuge.
Receive our prayers.
O God of majestic glory, grant wisdom to all who hold authority on this earth, that they will bow to your will and govern in such a way that justice is tempered with mercy for all. We pray especially for the President of the United States, the Governor of the State of California, and the Mayor of the City of Davis. O Lord, our refuge.
Receive our prayers.
O God of majestic glory, ignite the spirits of all who lead us in our church as the men and women who reveal your will to us through word, sacrament, and guidance on the way. We pray especially for our Bishop Megan, our clergy Pamela, Ernie, Deborah, Margaret, and Betsy.
We pray for Portia and all those who lead our campus ministries.
O Lord, our refuge.
Receive our
prayers. O God of majestic glory, embrace all who are seriously ill, weary, or anxious, and bless those who give them care. We now join our voices to pray aloud for those in need, especially for those on our parish prayer list.
For those affected by violence, especially gun violence, we pray for the victims of this week's shootings in Lansing, Michigan at Michigan State and in Mississippi. For those affected by natural disasters, for peace in Ukraine and other areas experiencing conflict, for the Shepherd by the Sea Episcopal Lutheran Mission and the Gualla Sea Ranch community as they face their community center being demolished by an arson fire this week. For Ethan, Josh, Mary, Marilyn Kay, Sue, Lynn, Elvie, Marianne, Joy, Carol, Michael and Carol, Colette and Nico, Thomas, John, Bill, June, and Patricia, David, Ku, Carol B, Deacons Ann and Lou Powell, Lynn B, and for the Reverend Robert Blumenstock.
O Lord, our refuge. O God of majestic glory, comfort us in knowing that our souls of those who have gone before us are now enfolded in the dazzling glory of the transfigured Christ forever. We pray especially for the victims of the devastating earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and for their families, friends, and communities who mourn. O Lord, our refuge.
Receive our prayers. O Lord, our God, you enjoin us to listen to your beloved Son, who told us not to be afraid. Strengthen us to know the radiant Christ in our hearts, striving to follow your law in faith with courage and conviction. We ask all this in the name of the resurrected Jesus and the Holy Spirit, your divine voice, who live and reign with you as one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins to God.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated for the announcements. We do have a lot of announcements today. They're in the back of your bulletin on page 11 and 12. As always, there are even more announcements in our extended announcement sheet online. And you, I hope, are all receiving email from us that have sort of highlight what's important that week or when there's a deadline. If you are new and not receiving that email, please be in touch with our office info at. All of that is in here too, about how you can get more information and how we can get to know you a little bit better. It's been a very busy weekend, week, month, I don't know, season. But yesterday we were the host site for one of the diocese racial reconciliation workshops. It's an all-day workshop called I Will With God's Help. And I'm pleased to say that there were several people there today who are here this morning. And so thank you to everybody who participated in that. And also thank you. I received the nicest compliment that I think a rector, one of them, can receive, which is somebody who was organizing the event said, "Your staff, Pamela, is amazing." So I couldn't agree more. They called out Janet Lane and Gabe Avila for just the tremendous, tremendous work they did and do. And I know there are others as well. So you will notice that we clergy and our musicians are wearing orange stoles today. I think most of you know that that is something we do in response to mass shootings and particularly marked acts of gun violence, and I don't need to go into any more detail about that, but let us please work and pray for that to end. This is the last Sunday before Lent begins. That means Ash Wednesday is coming up. There's a lot of information in here about the various things we have happening on Ash Wednesday. So please look at that and decide how you want to take part, including ashes to go on campus, the prayer walk here. So lots of different options. We could use a little bit of help still with the prayer walk. If you have half an hour or an hour that you can help with that, please let the church office know. And then, of course, Lent is a time when we focus a lot on Christian formation. So there are many opportunities listed for that as well. We have the Living Well discussion group on Zoom. We have the Revive small group. That is a program that we're trying for the first time this year that is really about deepening our spiritual formation. And if you are interested in that, there are just a few spots left. We're supposed to start off next weekend with a retreat and then meet on Wednesday nights. If you can do one of those things, but not both, but you're really interested, let me know and we will try to figure that out. I think I should really turn it over to Portia because today is Belfry Sunday and we have some other representatives from the Belfry here. And of course we have Portia, come on up, and I know you'd like to say a few words.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for welcoming me and the rest of the Belfry here on your Sunday. First of all, I want to express my gratitude to St. Martin's. You have been a longtime partner with the Belfry and have been supportive of us in so many ways. And I do want you to know that we deeply appreciate it and think of you often and are just glad to be able to partner with you in a number of ways. For those of you who don't know, the Belfry is in a little house on A Street right across the street from campus. It's kind of a funny looking little yellow house. And we have a gathering place for students that can come in and sit, study, relax. We also do worship services with one another. There are four things that I like to say about the Belfry. First of all, I like to say that the Belfry is a safe space. We welcome students sometimes who have been traumatized by other religious traditions and have had that not be, have felt less than welcomed in a variety of different ways. We have a warm, welcoming, safe space for those to come. We welcome students coming doing as they are. If you're having a bad day, it's a place to come and not a place that you feel like you have to be all together before you show up. So we like it to be a safe space. It's also a brave space. We expect that everybody has a voice in whatever it is that goes on at the Belfry. We even have a little signboard hanging outside. If you're ever walking past on A Street and it's not, you know, really bad weather, you'll see our whiteboard hanging up there. And anybody that comes by can write things up on the board. Frankly, sometimes we have to erase some of the things that get written up. There are fraternities nearby, but it is a place where people can express something about who they are as they're coming by. We say that the Belfry is a peaceful space. It is a space where students can come just to get a little bit away from all of the hustle and bustle on campus. They can do Zoom classes while they're there. They can take a nap on the couch. They can grab snacks, sit around and talk. It is just a place for people to sort of feel at home. And finally, it's a sacred space. We gather together for worship on Thursday evenings, and I understand that some of you will be coming in a couple of weeks to be with us on a Thursday evening worship to have some prayer shawls with us, and we're really looking forward to that. We do gather for a time of Eucharist and then a time to sit and have dinner with one another and visit. So please do stop by the Belfry if you're ever over on A Street. If the sign's there, or if the sign on the door says that I'm in, knock on the door and come in. I'm glad to show you around and just let you sort of meet people and find a place to feel at home. And again, thank you for the ways in which you support us.
Thank you again, Portia. I support anything where nap ministry is encouraged. I think that's a really, really good thing. Are there celebrations and milestones that we heard that nobody sent? But we have a one-year-old. Yes? When was Morgan's birthday? On Friday. Oh, happy birthday. I have a perfect view here that the rest of you don't have of Morgan being very, very one. So we will turn to, I'm so sorry. You have an anniversary. How long? 3 years. Happy anniversary. That's wonderful. Yay. Anybody else? So we have a birthday and an anniversary, and I'm sure there are other things. I am looking for our prayer. Here it is on page 5. Toward the bottom of page 5, we have a prayer for celebrations and milestones that we say together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our communion stations are up front, as we've been doing for several months now. We will intinct for you. If you would prefer just to have the host, you can just tell us that no wine or bread only. We do have gluten-free hosts available. You can come forward and cross your arms if you would rather just receive a blessing instead of communion. And finally, of course, if you cannot come forward, we're happy to bring a communion to you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For in these last days you sent Jesus to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Christ you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember Christ's death, we proclaim Christ's resurrection, we await Christ's coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Savior of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through whom we are acceptable to you, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with blessed Martin and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And first in Spanish and then in English, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we now pray. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria. Ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Oh,
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. May Christ, the Son of God, be manifest in you, that your lives may be a light to the world, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Thank you. go forth in the name of Christ.